meeting to order. It's the City of Palm Coast City Council Business Meeting. It is Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. It is 9 a.m. Please join me in the Pledge Allegiance to the flag.
Councilmember Branquino?
Here.
Councilmember Cuff?
Here.
Councilmember Howell?
Here.
Mayor, all members are present.
Thank you. We'll now move to public participation. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on items not on the agenda? You have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin. Okay, I will close public comment. We'll take it back to the agenda, item number one, which is the approval of the minutes of the December 4, 2018 business meeting, December 11, 2018 workshop. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion. Accept those minutes.
Seconded.
Thank you. Motioned and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number two is a resolution approving piggybacking the Florida Department of Management Services contract with Gartner Incorporated for its research and advisory services.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. The next two items are really related to some of your City Council priorities, so I wanted to take the opportunity for Chuck to run through the presentations that you heard at workshop. There's been no changes. This first item is with Gartner for IT advisory services to start looking at modernizing our IT infrastructure. And with that, Chuck's going to go over the slides.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Council. Chuck Burkhardt, IT Director. I am seeking funding approval for the Gartner Partnership Licensing, which is a piggyback licensing agreement with the Florida Department of Management Services. Let me just start this up here real quick. To begin with, I'd like to go over what the Gartner Partnership Licensing is going to affect positively. It's going to actually be related to three of the Council IT priorities: the Smart City, the Security Master Plan, and also the Comprehensive IT Strategy Plan. These are actually three of the best strengths that Gartner can bring from the government section of their practice. I went over in detail last time through this, but I wanted to summarize with you that there are actually two areas that Gartner has the positive effect of the city: support and resources. There are 10 support items that I'd like to point out. Cost optimization is number one. Gartner is outstanding at looking at your IT business and also your general business and optimizing the cost of those by looking at things like licensing and so forth, and how we can actually summarize and take advantage of some things we may not be aware of. They're outstanding at lean government. I'd like to point out also that Gartner, the practice that we want to partner with, is entirely the local government practice. It is not just over encompassing private services. It is actually focused on government services. So they have a lot of expertise in lean government. Their smart city strategies, they actually have a lot of expertise in this with other municipalities, and we would like to leverage them, their experience in the smart city strategies. Digital government capabilities, IT strategic planning, enterprise apps, and modernization best practices can be rolled into one thing. They can actually review your software and what you're currently using and give you great determination on whether or not this is the future. What should we be looking at? Is this the right thing to move into the future for the city? And finally, cloud computing, which is, as the years progress, cloud computing becomes more and more secure, and it is actually extremely viable for municipalities to use cloud computing. And we want to leverage that because of cost and because of the advantages it gives to the city. Risk management, and also cybersecurity from the support standpoint. On the resources side of things, they have outstanding resources. They're well known for their resources and their research material. I'd like to point out they have access to not just technology, But they also have access to local government research as well. This licensing agreement is actually taking care of both IT and local government research material. We have access to case studies. We have access to best practices. We have assistance with contract negotiation, the RFXs and the SOWs. Access to benchmarking statistics. So if we want to know, what is your cost? How do you compare against other municipalities? This is a place you could go to actually take a look at that. We have access to subject matter experts. Again, not just IT, but also local government. We are assigned a leadership partner. This person is available to us throughout the entire contract. And they are a specialist in local government. And we have an annual on-site workshop. And this workshop is a real blowout for one of the things on the left side you see. We could actually take a look at cost optimization and have a workshop on that, wherever we would like our focus to be, and they do an outstanding annual workshop. Reviewing the pricing, again, this is for two licenses, and it is $471 for the year. This is in the following years. It's not a maintenance contract. It's actually a renewal. It's actually a software as a service and platform as a service. It's actually a partnership renewal.
So I have a question, Chuck. Can you go back to the slide?
Which one?
The one previous. So as far as the overall evaluation of our current IT contracts and coming up with recommendations on how we view where we are currently and recommending how we move forward, whether it be a cloud-first policy or whether it be we're looking for efficiencies within our organization and certainly having data at our disposal to measure the health of our organization. What's the time frame for them to develop those strategies?
Mayor, I would say that we want to start from day one because we obviously want to take advantage of the costs of the contract and start using and leveraging them right away. I would have to say probably a 3-month development strategy, and in the third fiscal quarter, we'd be ready to actually roll out some of those.
Okay, so my suggestion then, I would suggest that our current IT vendor contracts that we do not renew during this process, nor do we engage for renewal because we're hiring them precisely to develop a strategy to modernize our platform. So I'm hoping that our staff is going to understand that this strategy is important as part of our overall strategy. So Bo, you have that very clear, correct? That we're not going to be engaging in renewal of current IT contracts while we're going through this recommended process through Gartner.
Well, let me get some clarity on that because we have, for example, our utility billing software that I'm not sure of the renewal date. I have to get the exact date, but if that goes away, we stop sending utility bills. I can totally be on board with any new software products or any upgrades or things like that. But as far as, existing software that we use day in, day out, that may be problematic if their renewal period comes during this 3 months. I take it from the city council priority that you do want to focus on the cost optimization, the legacy modernization, I believe. That's what we would target for the annual on-site workshop as well as the focal point to get started. I understand the desire. I just have to, raise the concern that if we're not going to renew existing contracts, that could cause some operational issues during this time.
Well, let me just say, if we're going to renew Paymentus because we have done a lot of work to establish that as our third-party payment system, if we're going to renew this through this process in a 3-year renewal, that I have an issue with.
Understood.
I understand that we, don't need to blow everything up tomorrow, but, we're having a real conversation about transitioning out to take advantage of modernized technology. I'm very familiar with Paymentus as well, and I do think we can do better even in that category. So Again, this is really driven based on citizen engagement platforms. And so, you know, if I find out that any type of renewal came up in regards to the time frame of this and it's extended this out even further from us taking advantage of the modernized technology, I'll be very disappointed. So if while we're going through that, this needs to be communicated to our consultant, who we are taking advantage of their expertise to also evaluate where we are in that process and maybe bring that back to us, as these are the contracts that are up for renewal during we're going through this process, and then we need to make a decision and have a discussion as a council on, you know, maybe transitioning out or how we negotiate. So I would like to see where we are in that process. I do not want to get locked in to lengthy maintenance agreements as we're going through this.
Right. I believe, you know, PayMinus was probably a term contract of number of years. Most of our software videos, I believe, are on either annual maintenance or annual software as a service. So we can definitely bring back to you what dates those renew. I understand the direction and the goal. We have to point out that there are some software packages that if we don't renew, we could access is cut off, and so that will cause some operational issues. I agree. Getting into a new software vendor or a serious upgrade during this time, I think we need to rely on Gartner to help guide us through that process and then bring back decision-making for council in your direction is, you know, if we're moving away from, I don't want to pick out a Munis or Highland or whatever the software package is, what does that look like? What's the time frame and what are we moving to and what operational issues is that going to cause and the timeline for implementation? I just want to make sure I understand the direction from you all, from City Council on, are we saying we're not renewing any, we're not paying for software renewal for maintenance agreements on our existing software? Are we talking new upgrades? Are we talking if a three-year contract for such as PayMinus comes up? That, of course, that would come back to you as well. But is that the direction? I just want to make sure I understand it.
If I may, can I also throw in there that most software vendors will note with them knowing, having the knowledge that you're actually looking at something where their termination of their contract needs to coincide with a project, they often will allow you to extend the contract for a shorter period than is in the initial contract to allow you to do that. So
yeah, I mean, we have an open bid process, frankly, and if we have a current vendor that would like to compete and demonstrate on why their product will serve our purposes, not just serve our purposes, but serve them to the purposes in which we've identified a goal of, you know, then that's one thing. But, you know, again, I don't want to drag our feet and spend time with Gartner where they're not going to understand our priorities, and our priorities are very clear. This is a strategic priority of this council is to identify and come up with a plan. So I'd like to see that plan be identified first and foremost. And if it takes them 3 months, I'd be shocked, frankly. You know, having known this company and worked with this company, that seems a little lengthy to me. The annual on-site workshop is one thing, but this is really about getting in there and understanding what type of technology contracts we currently have in place. You know, it's one thing from a cost optimization, but for me, it's really about efficiencies of this organization and taking advantage of the technology available to us that can deploy those efficiencies where we have, you know, our staff, our teams that are working, focusing on the mission of this organization rather than just having to work on Excel spreadsheets and, you know, clipboards with work orders. Those sorts of things should not be happening in this day and age. So I just really want to take advantage of this consulting partner that we are retaining, but I want to be very clear that it needs to be communicated to them that we also have priorities that we want them to focus on first and foremost. And if anyone has anything to add.
Yeah, I'm curious as to the cost here. You know, in the overall scheme of things, it all comes down to show me the money. And so we're switching gears here, and I'd like to know what the differences in cost are. And, of course, we all know that today's technology is old by tomorrow. And the other aspect of this is this going to require, while we're looking at software, is it going to require an upgrade in hardware to support the new software? All these hidden costs have to be identified and thrown out so that, you know, we as the stewards of the finances for the citizens of the Palm Coast know that we've done our due diligence. Now, I look at you as a subject matter expert. You're the man. I want to support you. But I also want to make sure that, you know, we don't go off in an area that is going to cost us bigger dollars than what we had planned for. I don't want any surprises. I guess that's what I'm saying. You know, and a lot of times we forget about the hardware to support the new software. So I echo, you know, your sentiment on this.
I'm hopeful that Kerner can do exactly what you're saying and guide us through that process. But to echo what the mayor, I believe, was getting at, essentially, if we could, and what I'm deriving out of our conversation here today is, if we can get a summation of where we're at with renewals that are expected to be presented to the city between now and when Gartner is going to start this process. So if you could have something in front of us in the beginning of the new year, and then we can kind of say, we don't want anything longer than the minimal period to get us from now to Gartner's assessment. And I think that's really the overarching message that I heard echoed. But I'm in full support of that, and I just want to make sure that our intentions are clear.
John?
I just think that the vendors need to know, as the mayor said, our priorities. And I completely agree with you, man. They need to understand them and then elaborate on that. If it takes 3 months, they must need to know it.
Yeah.
Not really of any substance. I mean, we need to move forward, but to the city manager's comment, I've been through several semi-failed software rollouts in different organizations, and while I think we need to move deliberately and we need to move as quickly as is feasible, I'd hate to find out that we can't bill people for their water and sewer service or some other vital city function is in chaos because we just arbitrarily didn't renew a software license. We keep it to the minimum. We take Gardner's advice and move as quickly as possible. But, you know, we need to keep the wheels on the back truck for the, you know, and the public works vehicles in the meantime. So I haven't heard anything any other council member has said that I disagree with other than, you know, we could wind up spending a lot more money and create a lot of chaos for our staff and for the citizens if we try to rush into this just because it is acknowledged to be one of our top priorities. So, my suggestion is we get on it as quickly as we can, but in the meantime, what Councilmember Klufa said was one thing I was going to ask for was if we had a menu of the major software packages that we use and their renewal dates and so forth, just so we don't have to have an emergency meeting or get an item added to the agenda at the last minute to make a decision to terminate something that 25 of our staff members have been using for the last 10 years to do their job, and Gardner or IT is telling us we're not ready to roll out whatever the replacement to that we think is going to be the next big thing is. So I would very much like to see that, and I hope that's as feasible as it sounds saying it today. My guess is finding every software license the city has and giving us a comprehensive menu is a little bit bigger. You know, should be easy if we had the right software. We could do it in 10 minutes.
That should be like a two-click report.
I'm guessing, I'm guessing it's not that simple. But, I mean, not to excuse not getting it to us, but I definitely would like to see that just so there aren't any surprises either for us as a council or for our staff and our taxpayers that rely on things happening at a certain time in a certain way until we're ready to move forward with the next big improvement to that.
I'll put that together.
Yeah, I think we can get you that list in January of all the software licenses and their renewal dates. I don't think that'll be an issue. And then we can follow up on a conversation on the direction of council at that time as well.
Okay. Thank you.
I just go over next steps. Again, I want to solidify the council's approval for the funding. Finalize the engagement contract here in December, and then I'd begin utilizing Gartner immediately in January. We're actually crouched and ready to jump on using Gartner right away. Thank you.
Is there any other further questions at this time before I open up to the public? If you remember, the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 2. Please do so at this time.
Lewis McCarthy, Broncos. I haven't heard anything about security and all throughout anything you do with cyber, you better have security. And I think that should be another top item that you consider. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
First of all, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to our commission here and to all our city employees. As Bo was saying, I'm curious, we have different packages. Are there different expiration dates? Are they on different timetables? And going forward, would it behoove us to get this new contract, new software, have everything have the same expiration date or the same contract date? I don't know if that would be more beneficial as opposed to this one expires in February, this one expires in June, et cetera. So I don't know if a consolidation of dates would make sense.
Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. This is part of the contract for cybersecurity, so they will be evaluating that based on recommendations. And I agree, cybersecurity is something that's equally as important, but I can tell you the technology that is allowable today has built-in security that is unbelievably secure. The Department of Defense uses modernized platforms each day, and I always say, if it's good enough for the Department of Defense to not have security breaches, we should be looking in that direction. As far as the expiration dates, that is another part of this process. I mean, the purpose of Gartner and us establishing a relationship with them is to do those evaluations from a cost optimization standpoint. So I'm hoping they're going to be bringing back different recommendations. Again, based on our current agreements, based on the cost, but also based on the platform itself and what it brings to the process for our organization. So I'm assuming that that will be part of the recommendations as well as the overall scheme of things. And frankly, that's why I wanted it to be more comprehensive. So when it does come back to us, we can have everything in front of us to make those decisions. Thank you. Okay, Council, if nothing else, I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number 3 is a resolution approving the purchase of Salesforce licensing from Carahsoft Technology Incorporated.
Mayor and Council, once again, another one of your priorities. Back in August, City Council approved an innovation partnership agreement with Coastal Cloud to help develop a citizen portal to make it easier for our staff and citizens to get the services and follow back up with them on their service request. Coastal Cloud has been developing that portal at no cost on the Salesforce platform. We're at the point now, in order to move to the next step, we need to purchase the licensing for our users here on site. Just want to give a few examples, as I did in the workshop, of, you know, our goal is for a citizen to be able to log in one place and access the information that they most often need. And so we are a very open and transparent government organization. If you've been to our website, you can just about find anything, but you almost have to know where to start searching. And so the goal of this project is that when a citizen logs in one place, they can pay their utility bill, they can get a copy of their survey if they're going to go put up a fence, they can see what permits were issued on their property, they can see when their trash routes are for those days, whereas right now, You have to go probably 5 clicks down in our website to find the information. It's there, but it can be cumbersome to find it. And then that will also add to improvements with communication back to our citizens when they do make contact with us for an issue. And so that's the goal of the project. This is the next step in that partnership agreement approved by City Council, which is to get the licensing here on site so we can continue to develop that platform. That Chuck's going to give some more of the details.
I'd like to start out again with the IT Council. It is actually related to improved public-facing public records and, more importantly, the citizen engagement portal. I'd like to point out that this licensing agreement that we are looking for is actually something that is an annual renewal. There's no maintenance involved in this. This is actually a software as a service and a platform as a service license renewal. So year upon year, it will be about the same price with this license. Again, this is the Citizen Portal Development software, and also this software is not for the developers. This software that we're asking for funding is actually for the city to use the final product that Coastal Cloud will be developing. The partnership is at no cost, and just want to say a few things about Salesforce itself. And let you know it's a development engine for the portal. Real quick here, the Salesforce software is actually a CRM or a customer relationship manager. Think of it as something or software that allows organizations to manage relationships, such as our citizens and the data and the information that's associated with them. Salesforce is right now the leading CRM on the market. It is most commonly used by all different size organizations, and it's a development framework which integrates well with Palm Coast's other applications. Because it's so widely used, it actually has lots of developers that write applications to where it can be incorporated with other software products. It has outstanding data tracking of citizen information and integrates multiple areas and multiple applications into a seamless experience for our citizens, which is why it's such a great tool to be used for creating a portal. Salesforce, if you will, is kind of the glue that binds all the citizen and business information into one portal. It allows entry of a request, tracking of a request, assignment of a request, and finally a resolution and final communication to the citizen. We are asking for approval for a cost of $98,284.63, which is a 37% savings thanks to Coastal Cloud's input and their leveraging power with Carahsoft. We were actually able to save 37%. The standard price you see before you is actually directly from Salesforce, and it is what they would have charged us if we had gone directly to them. What I would like to do on the next steps, I'd like to solidify the licensing here in December. I'd like to get Salesforce environment set up by the end of January. There is an entire sandbox environment that has to be set up for testing. I'd like to have a kickoff meeting with the Citizen Portal team in the end of January, a detailed project plan by at least March of 2019, if not sooner, and to give periodic progress reports to the council on how we're coming along on the portal, and also to give some demonstrations on where we're at. Any questions?
Was there any questions at this time? Not looking up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 3, please do so at this time. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. take it back to this council. I will be recusing myself from this vote. I work for Coastal Cloud as another job that I have in the community, and to err on the side of caution, Salesforce is a licensing agreement. Coastal Cloud does not directly sell licenses, so this is a separate transaction. But after speaking with Mr. Reichman, I feel very comfortable moving forward, and I certainly want to make sure that I'm doing everything appropriately. So I will be recusing myself from the vote, and just want to put that on the record.
Sure.
It's So as Vice Mayor, do I bring it back to the council to see if there's a motion approving the purchase of Salesforce licensing from Carahsoft Technology?
I'll second it.
Right. Everyone in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone in against, say nay. The motion...
I abstain.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And the mayor abstained, yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Agenda item number 4 is a resolution approving a work order with Aquatic Management Plus, LLC, for weed control of the freshwater stormwater drainage system.
Mayor and Council, always wanting to highlight the efforts that are part of your enhanced stormwater plan. So ask staff, this was presented at the workshop, but just to let the public know as well, if they missed the workshop, our additional efforts for our enhanced stormwater plan. Escape, guys. There you go. Jeopardy clock's gonna start soon. There we go. All right, Mike and Carl are here to present.
This is an effort that's part of our enhanced stormwater plan to help move it forward and accelerate the program a little bit. It's a work order for spraying the city's ditches. This graphic here is just to give you an idea of the extent of the ditch system in the city of Palm Coast. We have over 177 miles of ditches. The program, the objectives of this is to treat the aquatic growth in the ditches to help improve capacity bands, to develop a more comprehensive ditch maintenance program. The initial application will give us better control of the ditch vegetation. There'll be a second application. Treat areas on an as-needed basis. The purpose of this and part of the plan is to accelerate the program by utilizing a current spray contractor on the initial treatments to allow the city time and some lead time for purchasing the necessary equipment, bringing up new personnel to establish our in-house ditch spray program. It also provides some training opportunities for new personnel to work with the contractor and give us an opportunity to better refine the program and the schedule. We feel we can accomplish this within the current fiscal year spray program budget. And the goal is to have all ditches that are treated in the city spray program in place by the beginning of next fiscal year. Unless you have some questions.
Council, any questions on this item before I open up to the public? Okay. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 4, please do so at this time.
Good morning, City Council, members of the city.
Good morning.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
To all. And my question is, I understand that these are ditches. What's about the swales? Are they included in this or not?
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Again, George Mayo, Palm Coast. The spray which you're using for weed control, et cetera, is this something, obviously everything eventually runs off into the intracoastal. Is this something that would magnify or affect the algae blooms? Would this contribute to it? Yes or no, or it won't make a difference? Thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Can you address the first question?
So, you know, our previous program was really focused just on swales, and so we kept addressing swales and didn't spend a lot of time focusing on upstream, such as the ditches. And so our program, with City Council approval and support, has really shifted to a more comprehensive approach. And so that's why you see more work going on ditches and control structures and eventually freshwater canals as well. And so this is really about helping the swales drain better by improving the upstream, you know, the ditches and the things that need to be maintained. This ditch maintenance program is the same contractor that we use for our freshwater canals. Mike can elaborate on the chemicals, but they're completely safe for our canals, so they're safe in our ditches as well. And then the other thing I will say, of course, is, you know, program this year for public and council knowledge is there's two positions approved in Public Works to start in-house spray program. Our goal was, at City Council's direction, to accelerate this program so we start to see some of the benefit of those increased fees. And so staff came back with using the same contractor as our freshwater canal, so they'll get the ditches sort of under control. And at that time, we'll evaluate whether we pull this function in-house or keep it with a contracted source. So, but the goal is really to get ahead and get some of the maintenance in these ditches so we can better drain the system. And, Mike, I don't know if you want to elaborate about the chemicals used.
Well, what you said is correct. Just help open up the ditches, so hopefully that'll help the swells drain, help the swell improvements have more positive impact. The chemicals are all EPA-approved chemicals. They're applied by licensed contractors. And
question was about algae. Do you can you answer definitively if it will cause algae with the nutrients that you're putting in ditches?
Will cause algae? No. I mean, it should have a positive influence on reducing.
Yeah, and let me just add, I mean, this really was the discussion surrounding last year as one of our strategic initiatives to come up with a more comprehensive approach, an accelerated approach. I think we've been very reactive historically to the maintenance of our swales, certainly did not address our ditches as a means to watching the flow with technology that we have been able to utilize through LIDAR. I think our residents will see great benefit from the investment that they've made on our comprehensive approach for our stormwater. So I am hopeful by hopefully next storm season that we will make significant progress. So this just isn't about our swales, but it's also, you know, also has to do with the piping underneath the roadways and areas that we have seen significant aging infrastructure. And the conversation was, do we rehab them? Do we put a product that will provide some longevity as a cost-saving measure from some of the pipes that have been compromised? Or do we go in and look at those and do sort of like a concrete sort of approach? So I think that, you know, we have a very well-engineered drainage system, frankly, that IT&T invested a tremendous amount in building. But it's old and it's aging all at once. So to take the approach we're taking, I think not only for the swales, but certainly these high rain events that we will see again, hopefully that'll shore up some of the compromising infrastructure and allow for you know, it to be a little drier than it's been historically. But I will say that, you know, we've been very fortunate in Palm Coast to not have structural damages in our last two major catastrophic events, both Matthew and Irma. And I think this will just add to the level of quality of life for our residents. So I'm looking forward to the accelerated approach and some positive outcomes. So thank you for your work. It's really important in our community.
And you said that this is EPA approved, so that we know that kids are going to play in those ditches, as well as dogs and cats and whatever. And I sure wouldn't want to see any of these kids glowing green at night. You know, we want to make sure that, because this is the reality, they will get in those ditches, you know. And we don't really know the long term of this. This is the only area that I'm concerned. For example, I'm a victim of Agent Orange, and I'm dying from Agent Orange, but it was fine to spray on the herbicide. units over there in Afghanistan and other places in Kuwait. We don't know what the long term is on that. So that's my only concern with these types of chemicals. You know, do we truly know what the long term effect will be to anybody that happens to be exposed, especially the kids?
I can say they are EPA-approved chemicals and herbicides that have been used for some time, but common chemicals, it's not some, it's certainly nothing such as what you're talking about with Agent Orange, those type of defoliants. So, and there have been no adverse effects to this point.
If I could just add, while we realize kids and dogs play in open water sometimes in the state of Florida, please don't. There's enough critters and animals and, you know, different things in there regardless of what chemical. Please don't. And as a person that's had a lab that plays in water, you'll spend a little more time at the vet if you let them play in open bodies of water. So.
It's very unhealthy. not recommended. Okay, is there any further discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number 5 is a resolution approving the CDBG Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report for the program year of October 1st, 2017 to September 30th, 2018.
Mayor and Council, as part of receiving Community Development Block Grant Funds, or CDBG, there are several steps that Council must take every year, including hearing the annual report about what was accomplished in the previous year. And so part of that is benefit for the public as well, to see how we're spending federal tax dollars towards this program. With that, Jose has the details.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor, members of City Council. Jose Papa for the Community Development Department. And just to go over briefly, this report is required by the CDBG program, and the report covers the period from October 1st of 2017 to September 30, 2018. And again, this report describes our activities over the past year, and it's there to provide HUD and the public with the city's progress in implementing the programs that are funded with the CDBG funds. There are three main activities that are funded with CDBG funds here in the city. One is infrastructure program or infrastructure project. That's a Seminole Woods neighborhood multi-use path. We continue to move forward with a housing rehab program. Again, that's for owner-occupied housing units. And within that program, we also use some CDBG funds for administration. And the third bullet there is public service. Youth activities, and as stated during the workshop, we are developing that public service grant program, as well as overall planning and administration of the program itself. Regarding our infrastructure activity, in the past year, we completed a 1.2-mile segment of that Seminole Woods neighborhood path. This one covered from Citation Boulevard to Selma Trail. Expenditure of a little over $300,000 with a balance of $560,000 to complete the remainder of that path from Selma Trail to Seminole Woods Boulevard. Under the housing rehab program activity, we completed 4 homes. That one pending completion was at the time that this report covered. That was September 30 of this past year. That home has since been completed, so we're now in the process of preparing for the next round of home repairs. So in the past year, we spent about $130,000, and we still have about $538,000 available for the next round. And finally, for public service, youth activities, again, that the activities covered there would be our summer camps and swim lessons. We were able to assist 37 students, using about $20,000 of the CDBG funds. And just to wrap up, another public service activity in the past year, Flagler County Free Clinic completed their activities from their allocation. So they were able to assist an additional 159 patients And so they were able to assist a total of 222 patients using the $25,000 that was allocated to them. And other admin and fair housing activities, again, as we went over in the workshop, annually we help sponsor and partner with Flagler County Realtors and Mid-Florida Housing in Flagler County on a housing fair. And through the year, we since Flagler County Free Clinic had its activity ongoing, we would have a periodic monitoring of that subrecipient. And that concludes staff presentation. And your approval today will allow us to submit this report as required by HUD by December 29th.
Council, any questions or discussion on this agenda item? Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 5, please do so at this time.
Good morning again, Mr. Mielbach, our section. I saw that you had 16 in FY 16 and 17. We just ended FY18, so I'm not sure your charts are completely correct, because nothing about FY18. We're in 19 now. In October, we started FY19. So the report that should be filed, but should be for FY18, not 16 and 17, if I know my fiscal years. So is this multi-year money or single-year money? Because he's got FY17. And FY16 numbers, but nothing for 18, which just finished. So I'm a little confused here.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Close public comment. Jose, will you respond to the fiscal year?
Sure. I'll try to explain this again. The federal fiscal year is, how would I put it? The money we received for, we're in fiscal year 19 now, but it's federal fiscal year 18 are the funds that we're going to spend in the upcoming year. So the fact that the report says federal fiscal year 17, it did cover the just recently completed fiscal year based on our fiscal year, which is 17 to 18. As the cover of the report says, it's for the period from activities from October 1st, 2017 to September 30, 2018, using federal fiscal year 2017 funds. And it's true, there are multi-year funds that was spent in the past year. For example, with the PATH, we had a lull where we were designing, and then we went into construction. During that point that we were designing, we'd allocated funds, but since we're not paying for the design with CDBG funds, we had to wait until the construction to actually be able to expend the CDBG funds, as an example.
Thank you. Okay. I'll entertain a motion on this agenda item.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Other business, agenda item number 6, appoint 2 members to fill vacancies on the Code Enforcement Board.
I'm actually going to let Virginia handle this item.
Here, City Council, we have 2 regular term seats that are up for appointment. The one applicant did not want to return, and Mr. Mugford does want to be reappointed as well. There are 4 candidates on this list for you to appoint those 2 seats. Then the 3rd seat that is up is going to be a limited term because it's a replacement seat. We'll do that vote separately. So this first one is 2 seats, regular full terms for the next 3 years.
And choosing between the 4 candidates.
Correct. Mr. Mugford is on there. He's the one that would like to be reappointed. He does require a 4/5 vote.
So you're asking us to mark 2?
Correct.
Okay. Just to make sure.
Oh, sure. My fault. Yeah, I hear you. I'm sorry.
Mark your own.
Okay, sorry.
two would be, you can do a motion for that, Mr. Bella Pianta and Norman Mugford.
Do I have a motion?
Yes, I'll move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously.
Okay, so the next vote, you would not vote for Bella Pianta or Mugford, will be for the remainder of Mr. Lapadula's seat through September 2019. And I'm assisting in just crossing those two off for you, and then I'll cast the ballot. The next vote after this one will be for the replacement of the alternate for Mr. Bella Pianta.
Nothing like confusing the issue intentionally.
So
this
one is
proving the budget looks simple. I don't, yeah, I'm not good.
Is there a curve on this test, Virginia?
So,
one vote
for the two remaining candidates.
Correct. For Mr. Lapadula's seat. Mr. Arcamone, and I have one vote for Kavita Gray, and two votes for Kavita Gray. So the motion would be for Mr. Arcamone to replace Dick Lund.
Do I have a motion?
Yeah, a motion to replace.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Now move up forward for the consent agenda. Any member of the public?
Oh. We have one more, which is
candidate to vote for one.
Exactly.
Position.
You just have to vote for Kavita Gray to be the alternate for the group.
We just make a motion to that effect? Thank you.
Let's
the
only applicant
cut down
left.
A whole tree for this exercise. Do I have a motion for that effect?
To approve Kavita as the alternate.
I'll second it again.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. consent agenda. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on items 7, 8, 9, or 10, or 7, 8, or 9, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as read.
I'll make that motion to approve the consent agenda as read.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Public participation. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on items not on the agenda, you have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
Louis McCarthy. I wish all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And a healthy and prosperous new year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Same to you, sir.
Good morning again, George Mayo. Concerning the spraying of the ditches again, as regards to Mr. Howell's comments, there are a lot of chemicals out there that are EPA approved currently, and then we find out later on down the road that, gee, maybe it wasn't so good. And one of the chemicals out there now they're talking about is Roundup, which I use for my weeds all the time, and people do, and they're saying it's now harmful. I'm wondering if there's some mechanism we can do when these ditches are sprayed, we can notify the residents of the streets that that borders, whether it's on a website or a note in the mailbox, just like when somebody comes to spray your yard for your grass, they put a note on there, do not walk on, do not, you know, have your pets on. So whenever this spraying occurs, I wonder if there's some kind of mechanism that the city can put in place just to notify the local residents. Yes, you're not supposed to go in the ditches, you know, and then use them, but at least notify them that please stay away during this time. Thank you. And again,
for comments, next speaker. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Thank you, Louis, as always. Very nice to hear from you. And as far as, I mean, I would ask in the future the public comments, public participation, really be on agenda items that are not on the agenda that we're speaking about, but I will address this issue. That is part of that citizen engagement portal and platform. We will be able to engage our residents as far as timing of maintenance, spraying, those sorts of things. You can actually geocode an area, and it can be sent out in a mass emailing if we have their contact information in that area that we'll be spraying this week in your area. And so that will be part of this whole solution that we're going to be now deploying that will be much more citizen-friendly. And I'm sure that we'll be providing notices on our website equally as well. Okay. We'll now move to discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. I'm going to start with Council Member Cuff.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, a joyous Kwanzaa, and if there are any Vikings in the audience, a very joyous and safe Yule. So, and that's it for me for this.
Thank you.
I would just like to say something that was never said here before. Feliz Natal.
Those words. I hope everybody on our council has a happy, safe, and we have a little bit of R&R and we come back rested and ready to kick butt in 2019.
I want to backtrack to a discussion we had last week with regards to the buy local campaign. Again, you know, we mentioned that the rack cards were being designed locally, and that's a good thing. But I know the person that is doing those cards, and they don't always use local printers. They send them out. Now, I get the point about, you know, discounts and bulk rate, but I've talked to a number of our printer people here in town, and they assure me that they can pretty well handle anything. And I think that if we're really serious here on the buy local campaign, we here at the city need to be very, very cautious and examine who our vendors are when we do, in this case, just printers. But I think that, you know, the true faith of our program relies on the actions that we take part in pursuing. And so I would ask that our purchasing people do everything they can to ensure that at least the local businesses that could possibly contract with the city on a given issue are at least looked at. You know, and of course we understand the competitive bid and that's the way it goes. But if they're not aware of it, then, you know, we're kind of like mumbling out of one side of our mouth by local, but we're doing something else. And perception is everything. And other than that, I wish everybody a safe holiday season, not to offend anybody by a particular day. Fa-la-la.
I have just a few items. Bo, I'd like to know the update on Old Kings Road North. Has it been put back in the five-year plan for funding?
Yes, it has. I saw the tentative work program, and it was included. We received verbal from the district secretary on a call a couple weeks ago, but I did see the tentative work program. Carl, it's in there, correct? I think I saw it. So, yes, thank you, Mayor, your efforts, City Council. That was obviously a 6-point, what's the number, Carl? It's about $6 to $7 million of a funding that was pushed forward by FDOT. And also staff and our city attorney's office for getting the right-of-way secured, because that was one of the key steps to making sure that DOT was going to push that funding forward. And that funding starts July 1st, I believe. So their state fiscal year is July 1st. So we're getting ready for the next part, which will be the bidding process. But, of course, we can't start that until July 1, but we're ready to move forward. And so thank you all involved for the efforts, because that went from
phase one. How long will that take to construct?
Carl, why don't you come up and talk a little bit about the project and also give the extents of where the project goes from and to?
Yeah, the first phase is actually south of Palm Coast Parkway to the south end of Brighton Circle that loops around that Cracker Barrel is on. It extends north to about the Staples Plaza, Bowling Alley area. So it'll take us through that area. The time frame, I believe, is about 9 months of construction. It's a tentative timeline that was put together for the construction phase.
So phase two, then, have we worked on getting those easements as to be able to sort of put it in the next phase of that funding mechanism?
Right. I've seen right-of-way acquisition documents from phase two. I believe we're pretty far along.
The one or two left in phase two. As we get closer, there's some harmonizing easements that aren't tied to the property, so we've been holding off getting those because we don't necessarily need to have those to construct the project. So in terms of permanent easements in right-of-way, there's only one or two left that we have to obtain.
And that was what includes sidewalks as well in phase one, and then hopefully in the planning phase two. And the purpose of Old Kings Road North widening, and I say that because, you know, there's a lot of congestion that's going on over in that side of town that we just need to have a conversation about on how we plan for the future. So Matanzas Interchange opening up and then the realignment of other roads, this will complete the final realignment but will allow for, I think, a better flow of traffic. So we want to keep pushing that and pursuing that as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
And having funding from FDOT is equally as important. So, okay. Thank you for that update.
Carl?
Yeah, go ahead.
Carl, when are you and I going to go out with my 100-foot measuring tape to an inside?
Yes.
Our legislative priorities that we presented last time went very, very well. I will say that both Senator Hudson and Representative Renner viewed these priorities in a very positive light. They liked our regional approach. One thing that we need to get to Senator Hudson is the cost of the fiber. He's going to allocate that in one side of the budget, and then the House will focus on sort of the force main and utility side. So we want to make sure that we try to fast-track that, and I say that just because, you know, they're running some septic lines in certain properties over there that I think we just need to be mindful of. So anything we can do to get this project going will help accelerate the funding source. So a timeline would be important, frankly, of how quickly we can do this. The fiber costs separated out of the force main costs. And then obviously, you know, we need to continue to put our lobbying partner on this legislative session and through committee week. We are very fortunate to have our representatives in Tallahassee that are in a leadership position. I just want to make sure we take advantage of that.
Can I just ask one follow-up question, Mayor? We originally talked about fiber conduit. Do you think we can ask for the fiber to be installed as part of this as well?
Yeah, I think, frankly, you know, what they favored was, and maybe we can also have a conversation with the University of Florida, the provost favors this project as well, so having a partnership there would be of value. But they liked several of the components of the reason why we were doing this, obviously from this environmental standpoint, the impact of having package plants and septic over on a barrier island is not the most beneficial process to have. But they really like the fact that there's a lot of research going on over on the barrier island as far as sea quality, you know, cancer research, oyster rehabilitation, and the data that they're able to collect outside this natural environment is really important to the future. So both Representative Renner and Senator Hudson favored and really liked the idea of having fiber as part of this conversation because it will advance a lot of those conversations.
Thank you.
So make sure we get that to them quickly because January's, we're not going to see them for a while when they're going in committee week in session. So, and then the last point, the question I had was Wi-Fi over at our Indian Trail Sports Complex for the Little League in that building. I know we talked about it some time back. They do a lot of training in the building that's housed over on our sports complex. Can you give me a status update on having the ability to have Wi-Fi over there?
I believe they have the public Wi-Fi. I think the issue comes in that maybe streaming higher bandwidth items and wanting sort of the exclusive Wi-Fi. I can look into that and get back to you of what it would take. And, you know, of course, they would have the option of getting it from another provider, or we'd have to look at our security measures to see. But I know they have access to public Wi-Fi. I think the issue may be not the access, but the speed of what they're looking to do. I don't know if it's they're watching training videos or whatnot.
Have Chuck hit it with a speed test so we can see what the numbers are.
Yeah, we could do that, and then we can get back to you and see. Because it, you know, that would be a change in kind of how we handle users of the system, whether, and then we have to think about whether we open it up and what that would take. But we can, let's do a speed test, and then we'll get back to you and what the results of that are. And I'll ask what the issues are, because I know they have access to the public Wi-Fi, but I think if I recall, it may be something along the lines of the speed and bandwidth, which they would like to see. So, but I'll get back to City Council on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, perfect. And likewise, happy holidays. Everyone have a safe time off, and then come back renewed and refreshed in the new year. And we've got a lot of goals in front of us. I'm looking forward to a very productive 2019. So thank you. That is all I have. So discussion by City Attorney.
Something definitely not on the agenda, but I would be remiss not to extend good wishes and good health and on the minor population boom that we're going to have in Palm Coast soon. I'm speaking to this dais and the gentleman on my right and wish him the very best over the next several days.
Forget about that.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
I told him the airplane was ready. It was in one bump. We're good.
Discussion by City Manager.
Same wishes to everyone, everyone's family, and those that are traveling especially. As Mr. Reichman alluded to, I have a major event in my life going to be happening most likely Wednesday morning. So I will be sort of out of touch for at least a couple days because as I told staff, I want to live in the new year, so I'm not going to be answering my phone during that period in the hospital. But Chief Forte, if you need anything or anything comes up that's of an urgent matter, I designate him filling in for me during that time, and same for staff. If there's something that needs urgent approval, they can go to Chief Forte. And then the only thing I feel like I should let you all know, since the radio host put me on the spot last week, is I think it's been assumed, but I will be applying for the open position and competing with the rest of the applicants in the upcoming city manager search. So I wanted to disclose that to you as well. And with that, have a good holiday.
Mayor, I have one also, excuse me. We do have to confirm in our public meeting, in accordance with the policies and procedures, the dates for the city manager search, semifinalist, and then the selection of the finalists, and then the two-day interviews. So the dates that I have all of you available for are January 17th for the semifinalist, February 4th for the semifinalist and select the finalist, and then the two-day interview will be February 28th and March 1st. And we need to discuss a time. Would you like to all begin at 9 a.m. and approve all those dates as well? Okay, so in accordance with your policy and procedures, you have to approve the dates that you're going to be having these meetings because they are going to be considered special meetings. So January 17th with SGR will come in to review, and you'll select the semifinalists with him. And that's what the question. So would you like to do that at 9 a.m. on January 17th?
What is the pleasure of the council?
Whatever works.
I mean, at your discretion, whatever works best for you.
9 a.m.
Okay. And then February 4th, review the semifinalists and select the finalists, and that will be at 9 a.m. as well if the council so chooses. And then February 28th and March 1st, the two-day interview, would you like to begin at 8 a.m. or would you like to begin at 9 a.m.?
I mean, I prefer 9 a.m.
Okay.
And then we are going to be interviewing.
You'll get closer to that discussion with Mr. Thomas in your final selections. of if you choose 5 applicants, 10 applicants, whichever, you're going to drop it down. Generally, I think he said at the last meeting it was probably 5 applicants that you would interview.
Okay. And just to add that, obviously the ad is out. Everyone received the profile. I have published it on my LinkedIn page. I would ask my colleagues on this council if they do have a LinkedIn page. We're trying to get as much outreach as possible to as many potential candidates as possible. So I would encourage you to do the same.
All those dates, council approves, and times. Good. Thank you.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for the final time in 2018, I move to adjourn our meeting.
Yes.